Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And a welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Andrew Johnson of National Review and for Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We've got good, bad, and crazy martinis for you as usual. And, Andrew, we start with the good. This is kind of a two-day good martini as far as conservatives are concerned in terms of Republicans really turning the screws on Lois Lerner, the IRS, and to some extent some Democratic members of Congress. Yesterday, the House Ways and Means Committee referred the case of Lois Lerner to the Justice Department, asking them to investigate and possibly prosecute her. We'll see if they have any intention of doing that at the Department of Justice. We also saw reports of email chains between the IRS and Elijah Cummings, the top Democrat on the House Oversight Committee, about exchanging sensitive tax information regarding True the Vote, which is a group very much in favor of forcing folks to bring photo ID to the polls to verify that they are who they say they are. And then, of course, here on Thursday, Trey Gowdy and others on the House Oversight Committee officially held Lois Lerner in contempt. Here's what Trey Gowdy had to say.
Mr. Chairman, I counted 17 separate factual assertions by Ms. Lerner, not those three little sentences that my colleagues like to cite, 17 separate factual assertions. That is a lot of talking for somebody who wants to remain silent.
And he, of course, is referring to the fact that Lerner has invoked her Fifth Amendment rights on two different occasions, even though she gave a statement the first time. So, Andrew, we'll see where all this goes. I'm sure the media will likely paint this as a partisan exercise, but we could at least be closer to the truth here.
Yeah, well, that's the thing with this IRS scandal and sort of all the other scandals is that obviously they're not going to be the big revelation that they were when they first broke, but there's just enough drip, drip, dripping that we keep learning something more every time. So sure, they can dismiss it maybe as a phony scandal or there's nothing there. We've already examined it. But like you said, we have these new revelations coming out about Elijah Cummings. We have these emails regarding Lerner maybe aiming for an OFA position. And then you have today's hearings. And so it sort of keeps validating conservatives and congressional Republicans' concerns that there is something there. Again, maybe we don't know exactly what it is, but something it does seem a little shady.
The Democrats on the committee today, the Oversight Committee, were referring to Daryl Issa, the chairman, repeatedly as being engaged in McCarthyism. So that was clearly the effort to move the topic of conversation away from Elijah Cummings or even Lois Lerner. Do you get the sense that that's going to be effective to any extent?
I mean, they, you know, just I think it was last month they tried that whole stunt on the House floor where all the Democrats held up their iPads with an image of Daryl Issa, you know, trying to silence Elijah Cummings at the last time they tried to do this. It doesn't seem to be working because every time something new comes out, it probably emboldens Issa all the more, but also just validates Issa and validates the Republicans on the committee. So they can try, and I guess there will be the president and Democratic supporters that will side with it. But for the most part, just this drip, drip, dripping keeps sort of leading them down a trail that validates what they're thinking.
Yeah, and if the email chain is accurate, the righteous indignation of Elijah Cummings might not be so righteous after all. We'll have to see. All right, on to martini number two now, and this is from a couple days ago. This was over on the Senate side. John McCain and John Kerry have always been pretty good friends, to the consternation of some conservatives. In fact, it was rumored that Kerry even considered John McCain as a across-the-aisle running mate in 2004, but instead he made the wise decision to pick up John Edwards as his running mate instead that year. So Kerry, of course, is now the Secretary of State. And let's just say the exchange with John McCain and John Kerry was not all that friendly. Here's McCain, first of all, offering his less than glowing assessment of the Obama administration's foreign policy.
I say, I think you're about to hit the trifecta. Geneva II was a total collapse, as I predicted to you that it would be. The only tangible result is that people who went to Geneva for the Free Syrian National Council, their relatives were kidnapped. The Israeli-Palestinian talks are, even though you may drag them out for a while, are finished. And I predict to you, even though we gave the Iranians the right to enrich, which is unbelievable, those talks will collapse too. You can talk about Mali and you can talk about other places in the world, but on the major issues, this administration is failing very badly.
And while John Kerry disagreed, here was the tenor of his remarks.
Well, Senator, let me begin with the place that you began with your premature judgment about the failure everything. I guess it's pretty easy to lob those judgments around, but particularly well before the verdict is in on any of them. You know, the talks on Vietnam, you know this better than anybody, went on for how many years? Years. It took them a year to design the table to sit around.
Andrew, I'm sure you're shocked that Kerry referred back to Vietnam because he never does that. what do you make of his defense and McCain really going on the offensive there? Obviously, it's a pretty sorry track record for America, and that's why it's our bad martini.
Well, the first thing I found interesting is what was in the clip. There was a point where John McCain quoted who he said, my hero, Teddy Roosevelt. And then when Kerry responded, he actually said, your friend, Teddy Roosevelt. And I'm not sure if that was a subtle dig by Kerry at John McCain, switching his words around. Basically, as Charles Krauthammer said yesterday, other than sort of Democratic partisans, a lot of people would say that the Obama administration's foreign policy has been a failure. It has not been going well. And McCain was sort of voicing that rather aggressively. Now, it might have been perhaps too harsh a tone where some people, it might turn them off from what McCain's saying, or they might see it themselves as partisan. But it was definitely a pretty tense scene there in the Senate.
Yeah, and it doesn't give you the impression that Kerry's super confident that things are going to turn around. He's just saying, we need more time, we need more time. But we'll find out. McCain seemed especially peeved that the administration gave in on Iranian nukes, and I'm guessing most conservatives would probably agree with that, right?
Exactly. And, you know, Kerry isn't taking it lightly either. He said afterwards he felt betrayed and surprised by McCain's comments. But it's not necessarily like McCain was saying anything new that he hadn't said before or that conservatives haven't been saying before. Maybe it was something just sort of the face-to-face confrontation of it made it seem all the more intense.
All right, on to martini number three now. The crazy, the midterm elections are now just a little bit less than 7 months away. Republicans hoping to not only hang on to the House, but pick up a majority in the Senate. They would need a net gain of 6 seats to do that, which a lot of projections say is within the realm of possibility. In addition to the seats that they're targeting for pickup and the ones they need to defend, there are also two independent senators right now that caucus currently with the Democrats. One is the avowed socialist Bernie Sanders. The other is Maine's Angus King. He was featured in the Three Martini Lunch not too long ago, but he's back now here in the Crazy Martini because he has let it be known months ahead of the midterm elections that, you know, he could see himself caucusing with the Republicans in 2015 if they win the majority. So clearly, loyalty and conviction and adherence to principle are something that are near and dear to the heart of Angus King, Andrew.
Yeah, he clearly is sort of hedging his bets and sort of reading the tea leaves as to what might happen in November. Obviously, Bernie Sanders, the other independent, there's no chance he ever becomes a Republican. And it's almost surprising to even hear Angus King, if you sort of look at his different conservative ratings from different conservative groups. He's nowhere near sort of an independent centrist. You know, they have him in the teens somewhere. They have him, you know, highs in the 20s, maybe. So he might feel a little out of place within the Republican caucus. But again, maybe he's just hedging his bets ahead of what he senses is not a good fall for the Democrats.
Say Republicans win the 6 or more seats. Do they want this guy?
I mean, I guess it never hurts to have your caucus be a little bigger, but it also might make you feel, I guess, a little odd to have someone that almost rarely sees eye to eye on you on Obamacare. He's been very, very supportive of Obamacare. Just a couple weeks ago, he was saying there's actually no such thing as Obamacare. And so he's not necessarily the non-Republican you would want caucusing with. You'd think maybe someone like a Joe Manchin or someone like that would be more likely to flip parties than Angus King.
Yeah, and if you're a Republican with less seniority, if this guy were to flip parties, losing a committee assignment to that,
yeah, exactly,
would not be all that appealing, I don't think. So, Andrew, great to have you with us. Thanks for being with us today, and we'll talk to you soon.
Happy to be here. Thanks.
Andrew Johnson of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Jim Garrity's actually out for a while on spring break. Charlie Cook will be here tomorrow. Join us then for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.